I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
So, Gil, tell us more. We talked about the downsides. What do you think are the best ways to approach building an Amazon business in Germany? Should you sort of pile in there as the first place you go? Should you test things out in America first? What would you say? How does it fit into a bigger strategy for people?
I think what you always should do is for an American seller or an English seller, you have your stuff, you sell it in America right now, and now you think to look broader. And the second step will always be for an American seller to go to England, and I think for the other way around, for an English seller to go to America, actually. But if you're at that point and you have, I don't know, 5 products, 10 products, 20 products are selling good, then the next step would be to actually strategize which market in Europe is also interesting. It would probably be Germany. And then after Germany, if it makes sense there, maybe it's not all your products, but some of your products. And then afterwards, you would also have a look at France, Spain, and Italy, and then have a look if your product would, or which of your products would sell there. And then see it as a whole picture, you know, because it's already hard to set it up. So might as well go for all the markets. That's just how I see it. But really, really don't think you can just slap everything you have in America, put it on the German market, but have a really good look at the products before that with the BSR knowledge in mind. And then use professional help to set yourself up and get the listings translated, do the marketing. I have a tool where I can see what other people are bidding on with PPC, and it's sometimes really interesting that the Americans, a lot of them have only American words in their PPC. And I mean, it's going to be hard to sell in Germany if you have American words in your PPC. Like,
that's very interesting. And by the way, I'm very interested in knowing what that tool is, because I think working out your PPC costs before you go in is a really important thing, and it's hard to do. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Sure. It's called Amalyze, but right now it only works in Germany.
Okay, Amalyze. Is AMALYZE or
S-? Exactly. Correct.
Okay, well, we'll put that in the show notes. So that's very, very worth knowing indeed. And it's very interesting also that the Americans are being so lazy. I mean, I think the British people are almost the laziest linguists in the world. And I know that because my mum was a French teacher and my grandmother was as well. So, I mean, we're a family of people that are familiar with the idea of speaking foreign languages. And most British people are just, the fact that France is 35 miles away makes no difference, because they're going to have to speak French to communicate with French businesses. So they rather go to America, where you need to have all sorts of visas to travel. And, you know, you're not in the EU. I mean, you know, we still are, thank God, for the moment. It's very interesting that Americans are possibly even worse, I mean, if I may say that without disrespect. I mean, there is some kind of excuse, as they have a continent to themselves and most people speak English, although Spanish is important. But for the English, there is no excuse. So, yeah, I cannot emphasize enough, really, that if you're going to make the effort to go somewhere, you might as well the whole effort and do it properly. So tell us a bit more about that. You were just implying that, really. It's going to be effort for an American seller to sell in Europe as a whole. So you might as well consider all of the marketplaces and go to town, do it properly. Tell us a little bit about the special challenges that Americans would have selling in Germany or Europe, and what the best ways are to deal with that.
So, of course, it would start with how would they structurize their company? You know, like, where would they pay their taxes if they use the PANEU program? Like, because in Germany, in Europe, it's different marketplaces and it's different countries. They all part of the European Union right now, but that could change as well. And I don't know what you guys are doing over there, but that's up to you.
Nobody in Britain knows what we're doing. We don't even know who's in government, my friend. I mean,
I have to be careful now. It's a British podcast.
Any British Amazon sellers are very impressed with what the government's doing right now. I mean, I don't think anyone knows what's going on. So, you know,
impressed is a nice word.
Yeah, I think for the moment we should just carry on and do your thing, and then you know, let the future take care of itself. We'll find out about it in advance.
They have to get somebody to tell them all about the PANEU program and how it works with the VAT, all that kind of stuff before they set up shop. And then afterwards, if that is done and they are registered, then really get somebody that helps them to translate everything and have somebody who's doing the customer support in their language and the marketing efforts in their language, so that the brand, I mean, in the end, if they have 5, 10, 15 products, they want to sell a brand. and they don't want the brand image to be destroyed when they sell it in Germany and it has bad reviews and a weird translation, because then it's just going to not be good even for their brand in America, I think.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't help. And I have to say that a really poor quality translation, I mean, there's such a thing as Chinglish, you know, Chinese English, which you see all the time on Amazon. And as soon as I see it, it makes me laugh. And I kind of mentally take 50% off the value of the product, because I just think these guys don't really know what they're doing. As if they did, they would have employed somebody. I mean, you know, they must have spent quite a bit of money sending some products over. They could have employed somebody like me or you or anyone who speaks reasonable English just to make it professional English. It wouldn't take very long. So I can't help thinking it's going to be the same for anybody. So tell us a little bit more. So I understand that you've worked with an American client to try and get them launched in Germany. Tell us a bit more about that process and how you help navigate the difficulties that you're going to encounter in that situation.
Both the people I will tell about, American and also an Australian, they were already registered in Germany. So they had their account going, and also in the rest of Europe. So what we did now was we were looking at their whole portfolio that they were selling in America. And then we decided which 20%, like, you know, the 80-20 rule. So which 20% would be the best to start off with. And that was for the one client was 3 products. For the other one was 4 products. And we started putting, we started with the whole process. We got it translated. We got the keywords in. We put it in. We started with the launch. We started with PPC. And it turned out pretty good. So after that, more and more products came to the European market from them. But as I said, not all of them, because some products just wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, there's some seasonal differences really between some like Germany and UK and US, where some areas of the US you have good weather the whole year round, and there's nowhere like that in Europe really. Although I guess the Mediterranean countries would have that, but they have tiny sales volume on Amazon at the moment. And, exactly. Yeah, the other thing is a cultural thing. I mean, some things, for example, I've looked into all sorts of random things, like sort of camping stuff seems to be really big in Germany. Unsurprisingly, in the UK, it's not quite so popular. I mean, our weather is pretty famous for being not good. So maybe that's what it is. So there's some things that don't translate. And then somebody else was telling me that they actually sold something random like tablecloths in Spain. Yeah. And for some reason, because the Spanish are really into formal family meals in a way that the rest of Europe is giving up on. Tablecloths sold like crazy there in a way that made the rest of Europe look slow, even though Spain is a tiny market. So have you got any experience comparing, you know, you were talking about the whole selling across Europe rather than just Germany. Have you got any experience of selling products in France, Spain, Italy, and where it's actually worth doing? Because I've tiny experience of that. And the sales volumes were so low. To be honest, I just thought I'm going to actually cut them out and simplify my life.
I have to say that for me, for my own brand, which is a sports brand, from the let's call my revenue in Europe 100%, and from that 70% is in Germany, and the rest is divided by France, Italy, and Spain, and not England, because England, the market was already too hard for me to get in with the sports brand. With one of my clients, actually, France and Spain works pretty good. So he has a divide. I mean, it's like 30% France and Spain, 60% Germany, and then 10% England and Italy. So that's a little bit how it is. But in the end, always Germany will be, I think, the strongest market, and in comparison to England, the easier market for the entry.
Yeah, interesting. So interesting that you, with your experience, don't bother with England, because you just find that just put on the UK.
It depends on the product, for sure. If the product would make sense, but just with my products, the prices are quite low in England somehow. I don't know what's going on over there. Or would you like? It's just.
What's going on, dude?
You guys are more advanced, let's say like that.
That's a nice way of putting it. I think that the problem in England for a German seller is that if you're buying products in dollars in China and then you're selling them in pounds, that's not a great exchange these days. And if you're buying stuff and if you can sell stuff into euro market versus pounds, I just went on holiday with my fiance to Italy, and I think at the tourist rates we were getting about €1.10 for a pound. 2 years ago we went to Italy, and we were getting €1.40 for a pound. I mean, the pound has dropped like a stone against most world currencies. I think the only reason that the dollar-pound relationship isn't worse is because they've got an idiot like Trump in charge and everyone's wondering what's happening. Excuse me, if you're a Trumpet supporter then, folks, my apologies. But I can't think many rational people would be listening to this who are transporters. So if you are, then goodbye. And also the British government is just a bunch of people who don't know what they're doing. It's like opening an anthill with the ants running around inside. Absolutely clueless. So I think for those reasons that I wouldn't want to translate any money into pounds that wasn't going to have a really great rating on it, which is to say, if you're English, my friend, you need to be getting outside the UK with some part of your business, and what easier way than with Amazon. So tell me a bit about Germany then for the UK-based seller, because that's going to be quite a big percentage of the podcast, of course, and that would include me. What do you think are the advantages we have there, and what do you say? What would you your general advice be? Let's start with the
general advice would be to just try it out. I mean, you can even export. You don't need to start, get a VAT number, do PanEU or something. Just get a German listing, listed on the German market, optimize all of that with, I don't know, take your three best products, have a look at the German market. It's probably going to be that they are not as competitive as in England. Just saying that, you'll find out if you have do the research, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be like that. And then find somebody professional that does all the translation, that gets everything going for you, that optimizes everything, so you can actually test it, give it a real chance to work, instead of, you know, translating it with some Fiverr gig and then hoping that it's going to sell. So yeah, test that out, and then take it from there. Either decide to get all your rest products in Germany as well, and then go for Spain, France, and Italy. And at some point, I'd say when you have maybe 1,000 orders a month all over Europe, you should really think about getting PanEU going to save that €1 on every order, and make your life easier.
Okay. So a couple of questions around that then. The first thing is, well, I like that, not really a question, just to reflect back what you were saying, just test out Germany and take it from there, because I don't know if people are aware, but you can store your inventory in the UK, you can store your inventory in the UK and send it to any Amazon buyers in Europe without having to pay anything at all. And if you're not VAT registered,
You do pay a little bit extra for the export, but it's not much.
A little bit, yeah. But what I mean is it's not a big risk. Yeah, you're quite right. It is a little bit extra, but it's a very small risk. And if you're just starting out and you're not VAT registered yet, then it's not an issue, because as long as you don't get stuff stored in the European Union
countries, that's it.
You don't have to register for VAT.
As long as you stay under a specific amount of volume in the revenue, that's another part. But that's, I don't know how it is with Germany. I think it's 30,000 or 70,000. So it should be enough for a test run.
Yeah. Now, in the UK, basically, it's the same as for a person or any other company, which is £83,000 as things stand at the moment in revenue, which is quite a nice high ceiling compared to Germans. So, I mean, it's really... VAT registration is something you can afford to worry about down the line if you're just starting out in the UK. Yeah. So I'd say that for those who are at the beginning stages, but for those who are more advanced, tell us about PanEU, because obviously that involves VAT registration in a lot of different countries, as I understand it, which can be a nightmare. So tell us about that. Is that a process you've gone through or helped?
I do that. I have the PanEU program for my sports brand because it just makes sense. It's selling everywhere, and it's more orders than 1,000 a month. So just from the numbers, it's already making sense. But you will get, well, PanEU on the start, it means that you're instead of shipping from your one product, from your one company, maybe Germany or England for your listeners, you allow Amazon to store your products wherever they want in Europe. So it might even be in the Czech Republic or in Poland, because they have new storage there. So if you store something somewhere in Europe and it gets sent there from the customer, that's what you said before, then you need to be VAT registered in that country. It makes it, I think it's called the Nexus. I'm not sure how that, but that's just how it basically works. So if you want to do PanEU, you will need to register in France, Italy, Spain, Germany, England, Poland, and Czech Republic. So that's just how that is.
So it's limited to those countries, right? So it's only sort of what is that, 8 countries or something, rather than 27 or something crazy?
7, I think, right?
7 countries, okay. So is that something you got an accountant to do on your behalf? Yeah. Or did you use like...
Yeah, you cannot do that yourself. That would be even worse than trying to sell your stuff yourself. Trying to get in contact with the financial departments of all those, because that's how it works. You go to England. If I'm from Germany, I go to England, I call them, I say, yeah, I want to sell here, that's my company. And then I would fill out the English forms, which will maybe be all right to do that. But then France, Italy, Spain, oh my God, that's going to be a hard job for me to do that. So okay. I worked together with a partner for that. You guys could, for example, call Avalara, it's called. You probably heard of them. They are supposed to help you quite good. I'm with a German company, actually, that helps me.
And what kind of money, if I may ask a rude question, well, at least in Britain, that's still a rude question. What sort of money did you pay for that sort of service?
The whole package for the first year, I think, was 3,000 euro. But that includes the registration in all the countries and the monthly fee for doing my VAT numbers, which then I get from all the countries. I send the money to the countries and give the VAT PDF, give it to my bookkeeper.
Okay, so they'll do. So will they actually transfer the cash for you and stuff like that? Or have you still got to transfer cash?
No, for me it works that I have to transfer them once a month. I get all the VAT numbers in, and I transfer the money.
So you have to transfer to 8 different countries once a month.
Yeah,
that sounds quite complicated, I have to say. But I guess, you know, as you say,
I'm happy with my online banking. Yeah. My online banking and my bank, my company bank. Is doing that. So, but that's something you should check out. So maybe your bank, you cannot transfer money to Poland, then that would be a problem. There is other companies that would help you with that. It would be still possible, just not directly from your online banking.
Yeah, I'm quite sure that that's something you can do. If you can send money to China, I mean, you know, which most of us do, then I'm sure that sending it in the EU within the euro currency isn't going to be an issue, but it just sounds like a bit of an admin headache. So it's definitely something to do when you really want. So what are the, so we know what the upside, the downside is, as it were. We know what the headache is and the cost, but what's the main advantage of doing things that way? Why would you bother?
There's actually two. The first one is that you will have a better way of Prime. I mean, even if you export, it will say Prime, but it will tell the people who buy it, it's going to take 3 days. It's going to be shipped from England, for example. And also, I think, and a lot of people agree on that, is that the Amazon algorithm is going to push your product a little bit more if you're available in 1 day instead of 3. It's just how it is. So if somebody in France buys it and it's there already in the fulfillment center. So that's something you would use. And on every order, at least that's I think it's also in England the case. On every order we do, and we don't use PanEU, we pay 1 euro extra for fulfillment right now.
Okay, and that's on every single order, not just ones fulfilled in other European countries, but also
everything, every single order right now. I'm not sure how it is with England. Maybe pretty sure it's
very much the same. I can double check and we can put a note in the show notes if it's different. But I mean, I think that Amazon Europe probably treats everything the same as far as that is allowed by the regulations in each different European country goes, right? I know that France is very, very big on protecting its sort of native industries, and there's quite a few things that you can't do in France that you can do in just about the rest of the planet, really. But talking of which, let's come back to Germany specifically then. So thank you very much for your bigger thoughts, literally pan-EU across Europe. But let's come back to Germany. Tell us a little bit about regulations in Germany, because I understand there's an issue with email follow-ups in Germany, and I know Nadine talked about that. Can you tell us a little bit more about your experiences with how to stay in touch with German consumers without getting up their nose too much?
Basically, it's not allowed to send them any commercial emails if you don't have the double opt-in. And in Germany, Amazon has it, but you as a marketplace seller, you don't have the double opt-in. So you're not allowed to send a customer any mails that contain any commercial stuff in there. And even asking for review or feedback would be a commercialized mail. So the only mail you can send is the one where you send them the invoice. But actually, even in that one, you're not allowed to ask for feedback or review. So to be honest, if you obey the rules in Germany, you're not really able to contact your buyer afterwards.
Okay, and in practice, do people actually do that, or what's your experience of how it's done? A lot of people
ignore it basically, and use different services you can use to send follow up emails.
Okay, and I've heard about using the invoice mail, so that you send an invoice to somebody and you attach a PDF that says, "Here's your invoice," and if by the way you feel like leaving a review,
in the invoice, that you can do, but. I mean, who's going to look at the invoice? Because most people buying on Amazon are like personal buyers, so they don't do it for their business. So they don't really use the invoice. So the percentage is going to be 0.1% of...
Yeah, right, really tiny. Yeah. And what about... a couple of questions. And what about sending an invoice but with a sort of commercialized...
mail.
Mail. I mean, presumably that's
not really allowed as well, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So interesting. So then the other question is then how do you get reviews in Germany, which this may explain why there are so few reviews in Germany for your competition, because you're going to have the same problem. So
exactly.
What's your approach to getting reviews in Germany?
So either you still do it or you find a way to know your customer by, for example, going over Facebook groups, over your target market, and tell them, hey, I have this and this product. Are you interested? And then if they say yes, you know their email address. So if you do a funnel before Facebook for a coupon code or whatever it is, then you would have their email address, their double opt-in, and you can ask them for reviews.
Okay. And is that a method that you find useful? So you're basically, running Facebook ads to an opt-in funnel or something?
That's the thing. Ads? Yeah, we do that with some brands, but it doesn't work for all the brands. If you have an unsexy product, it's just not a thing to try and sell it on Facebook. It's just not going to work.
Okay, so tell us about what you found to be the sexy products that worked on Facebook and the things that you found not. You don't have to get that products, but the kind of idea.
Yeah, new cool technical stuff, everything that is interesting while they're browsing, little small papery, like just arty stuff. It's hard to say. Everything that you think interesting as well when you scroll through Facebook, you're not going to stop and say, oh yeah, I need a screwdriver. Probably not going to happen. But you're going to stop and say, oh, I need a new headphone. That's cool. Let me have a look at that. So that's the stuff that works on Facebook, you know. So while, so that's, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds that makes a lot of sense, really. I mean, I'm beginning to sort of dip into the Facebook marketing thing for Amazon now, and quite a steep learning curve. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense that if it's just something like a screwdriver, then you're not really going to be very excited about
something. Maybe if it's a really cool screwdriver that has new features.
Or something. I have no idea. But yeah, a very cool screwdriver that just does it on its own or something. Yeah, I can imagine that it would have to be quite special. So. Yeah, okay. So basically, in Germany, you're in a land of very few reviews unless you break the rules. But on the other hand, so is your competition. So I guess it comes down to who breaks the rules and who's risking doing that stuff. I mean, have you come across people having their accounts suspended for sending follow-up emails?
No. You don't really break. I'm not sure if they changed it, but Amazon don't really care about that. That's more the German law. So you would get it's called Abmahnung. So it's a letter that says you should not do that anymore. And you pay a fine.
Okay. So it's basically like a cease and desist letter, I suppose.
With a fine on top.
Yeah, that's normally sent by a lawyer. And this sounds like it's sent by the German government.
No, it's sent by a lawyer as well. The German government don't really care about that. It's your competitors that would do that.
Ah, okay, I see. Right. And what sort of levels of fine are we looking at anyway?
500 to 1,000 euros.
Okay, so it's substantial. But I mean, I guess if you're turning over some serious numbers on Amazon,
it's always the risk and reward question.
But that's good to hear that, actually, because I mean, it's one of those things when I think about Germany, there's a few things that come to mind, which is fantastic engineering, fussy consumers, and also law books inches thick, or many centimeters we should say. But so it's interesting to know that the downside isn't necessarily as bad as it could be, actually. I mean, I think in a lot of ways €1,000 fine would be preferable to account suspension for anyone who's doing serious numbers, right?
For sure.
That's interesting. So really then what it comes down to is reading between the lines. I mean, I'm not asking you to ask people to break the law of your own country, but it does sound like let's just put it this way. It might theoretically be quite possible to send follow-up emails in order to try and get reviews.
It might be.
Until such time as your competitors get their lawyers to send a letter. That's quite interesting. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the future of Amazon Europe then. So you were implying before that Germany's maybe finished quite a big percentage of its growth curve, if you think that's right. And also what you see happening in France, Spain and Italy, the sort of poor relations over the next year or two.
Yeah, I think that's what will happen. I think the German market will keep on growing, but not in a pace as it did the last years. I think you already see that it's getting slower. But Amazon Spain, Italy and France, I think, will start growing. But that's just an assumption. Could also be that Amazon is just focusing on Japan or China, or I don't know. But right now, I think they will start focusing a little bit more on France, Italy and Spain. And all in all, it will grow. It will keep growing in the way, like all of Europe, it will keep growing in the numbers it did before. So I think just still an awesome time to get involved and get some shelf space on the Amazon market.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that's a good place to leave it. Gil, if people want to get hold of you, I was about to say, if they want to hear you speak, well, I ought to plug something, which sounds really shameless because I'm actually, by sheer coincidence, we've both been booked to speak.
Yeah, actually, gig, yeah.
I ought to make sure that people know about this. So on the 5th of July, Gil and I will be speaking at the Amazon event run by Web Retailer, who are good guys. They've been around for ages. They know about, you know, e-commerce and backwards, forwards and sideways. They really know their stuff. So that's Andy Gelman who runs that. And that's going to be at Bar Rumba, I should say, in Shaftesbury Avenue, right in the heart of London's West End, which is a really cool place to hang out. And I can't remember the time. I think it's about 7:30. Is that right?
Yeah, I think I have to be there at earlier, but I think it starts at 6:30, right? Or 7? I'm not sure.
We're doing a great job of marketing this event for Andy, aren't we? So I'll double check and I'll put it in the show notes. I'll put it this way. It's in the evening. Yeah, you and I are going to have to be there to check things too and do a practice and a sound check and whatever. But yeah, it's just going to be at
7:30 sounds all right.
7:30 roughly, say 7, I don't know. Check online, guys. We'll let you know. And if you want to sign up for that, then I guess the easiest thing is if you just email me for the moment and now I'll find out. I'll put some notes in the show notes and I'll put a link through to the meetup place. So that's one place that you can hear Gil or myself and you can meet us in person. Looking forward to meeting you in person, Gil, as well.
Same.
So that's one immediate place that people can hear us if they can get down to London or they happen to live in London. Obviously, for US-based listeners, that's possibly less than practical. So what other places, Gil, can people hear or learn more about you?
Yeah, I've because our content is in German. So what I have is it's the agency that I was telling you about. So if you want to know a little bit more about that, and you're actually an American seller or an English seller who wants to do that step, he could come over to commerceand.eu. It's spelled commerceand.eu. So, you can have a look there, what we do, how we can help you, and just have a call, arrange a call with me, and we talk about your business. Otherwise, you can always find me on Facebook. Just look for my name, Jill Francis Lang, and you find me there. Just reach out.
So, great to talk to you, Gil. It's good to be thinking about Germany again. I've sort of had forays into it. It's just sort of re-inspired me to, you know, to really take seriously some research there and just to find some great niches that, as you say, the opportunity is still there, which for such a big market is a pretty amazing opportunity. So look forward to meeting you in person at the Web Retailer thing. And meantime, yeah. I'm just big thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I had a really great time and I hope everybody enjoyed it. And thank you, Michael.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. I've got a quick one for you. If you're super stoked and awesomely excited to sell on Amazon, that's great. But if you're American, I'm afraid you need to stop listening because this one is for the Brits only. I'm not being biased, but this is because I'm talking about something which is based in London. So you're going to need to be in Britain or near Britain to take advantage of it. The basic problem we have as internet entrepreneurs is we are lonely and isolated because we're tapping, sadly, at our tablets on our own, we're cooped up with our computers, and we're going insane with the internet. We need to connect to other people. It's only a human thing, right? And relationships are the basis of all good business. So If you are in that situation, keep listening because we have a solution called the Amazing FBA London Mastermind. But I'm going to specifically talk to you if you're in that situation, but you are yet to launch on Amazon. So you want to launch on Amazon, you haven't got there yet. This is exactly for you. It's called the Zero to Hero Pre-Launch Mastermind. And our aim is very simple: to get you from research or importing, or even if you've got products on the way to Amazon, to launch with your first product live on Amazon. That's our goal. That's our focus. How do we achieve that? Very simple. We have a face-to-face meeting of up to 15 people, no more than that. So it's very, very focused. And you get 30 minutes minimum to talk about your business and focus on the single issue that's blocking you that month to move you forward. The other way we keep you accountable is that we have a video accountability call once a month as well, which it goes in between the physical meetups so that we keep that momentum going, because momentum's everything, guys. As you know, on your own, you just lose the dream and you fall into slowness, and then the business just dies from neglect. So we do the opposite. We keep it moving, we keep each other motivated, we inspire, and we tell the truth about what doesn't work so other people can learn from it. We also have a couple of other things. I give an exclusive newsletter available only to members of the Mastermind, where I share the latest tips, techniques, and tricks, and bigger strategies that I'm trying on my Amazon businesses, and tell you what works and frankly what doesn't work as well, so you can learn from my mistakes. And of course, there's an exclusive Facebook group to share all this good stuff with each other in between the meetings and the accountability calls. So there's a ton on offer here. It's obviously going to be very limited because it's maximum 15 people anyway. But for the first 5 people who come on board, there will be a special deal and a very special price for life. But that's obviously only for the first 5 people who come on board. So if you want to check it out, just go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find out there more about it. You can apply there as well if you want to, and if you move fast, you might even be one of the lucky first 5 people to take advantage of it as well. So that's amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. I'm going to put this video out for everyone on my podcast and everyone in the Facebook group, of which we've got nearly 900 members now, and on the YouTube channel. So I imagine that this will fill quite quickly. So if you're serious about it, get yourself over to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find